In the stories of Christmas and Epiphany, we read of ordinary people encountering God in all sorts of different ways. Some people get angels. Zechariah and Mary both received surprising news of impending childbirth from the angel Gabriel. Joseph had a dream where an angel told him to keep calm and carry on with Mary. The shepherds got a whole choir of angels, sending them running towards the manger. Other people experience physical signs of God's presence. Elizabeth, upon seeing Mary, feels the child, John, leap in her womb and is filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Simeon, upon holding baby Jesus in the temple, recognizes him as the Messiah, prophesying God's good news. And some people spend years studying ancient texts, philosophy, and natural wonders of science that lead them to encounter something holy. The Magi in our story today, after study, a long trip following a star, an odd encounter with a king, find the Christ child in his home and are overwhelmed by the joy that came with completing a journey. Every week we gather to worship in God's presence, searching for comfort, illumination, hope, and fellowship in this place. We come to honor Christ and offer ourselves to God. We seek also a filling up of our own cups and are sent out to share the gifts of God with the world. Worship is central to our lives as Christians, a journey we'll make over and over again. I suspect, though, that even when we all gather here in the same place at the same time with some of the same people, we each walk away with different experiences of God's presence in this place. Different people need different messages. The Magi received the message of God's coming into the world in a completely different way than anyone else in the story. And I think if we can set aside pictures of foreign kings who carry vast riches on the backs of camels for just a moment, and imagine a group of curious scholars, we might find more ways to relate to the Magi than anyone else in the story. Because they remind us that God's revelation isn't just for those who are sent an angel of the Lord, or just for the family of Jesus, or just for those who were close by that night. Christ is also for latecomers, outsiders, and travelers. The celebration of Epiphany, falling 12 days after Christmas on January 6th each year, celebrates the appearance of Jesus of Nazareth in the midst of humanity in all our differences. This is great news for us, because we do not come to faith in God or respond to the messages we've heard in a uniform way. Just as the Magi, who were foreign Zoroastrian priests who studied philosophy and astronomy, are drawn to find the King of the Jews well after his birth, we too are invited to follow Christ at different paces and different places. Perhaps you are most likely to look for God's presence at the top of a mountain or in the daily discipline of scripture reading and prayer or in moments that take you completely by surprise or in deep discussion with your peers. God guides our journeys of faith, illuminating the way with the light we need. Some Christians have followed a star, but not one in the sky. A growing practice in many churches is to give the gift of star words when the church celebrates Epiphany. A star word is simply a star-shaped piece of paper with a word on it. Each person receives one and is asked to reflect on that word for the coming year, pondering what significance it might have in their lives and how God might be speaking to them in that simple message. Reverend Kristen Strobel, pastor at Heritage Presbyterian Church in Youngstown, Ohio, writes of her and her congregation's experience. She says, "My first word was restraint, and I wanted to throw it back, What was that supposed to mean? Restraint made me think about being held back or bound. These words were supposed to be a gift, but this did not feel like one to me. And yet, over time, the word continued to work on my heart and mind. I started practicing restraint at church coffee hours and foregoing donuts. I used restraint to stop myself from getting second helpings at potlucks. Restraint gave me permission to look at how unhealthy I had become and do something about it. When I began to see restraint as a gift instead of a curse, it freed me to change my eating habits without apology, to leave work earlier to exercise, and to focus not just on my spiritual health, but my physical health. In my year of restraint, I lost 90 pounds, and for the first time I could remember, achieved a healthy weight. I'm not one for New Year's resolutions, because let's be honest, they always seem to fail. Instead, these star words have become my practice for the new year. Instead of making a resolution that I'll feel guilty about a week later, I take a star word as a gift and keep my eyes open. The stars have allowed me to see God in unexpected ways and places. They've been challenging, life-giving, and transformative. One woman in my congregation received Joy last year. Her middle name is Joy. She admits, though, that she lost her joy, forgotten how to live with joy. The star word reminded her throughout the year about the gift of joy in all circumstances, a joy that comes from the simple affirmation that we belong to God. Another member received courage. She was in the midst of cancer treatments when this word was given to her. She took that paper star with her to every doctor appointment. She kept the word by her side as she entered hospice care and as she passed from this life to the next. Through these star words, God illuminated the journey of these disciples in the ways they needed light. In our Old Testament passage today, the prophet Isaiah writes about light. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The you Isaiah is writing about is the city of Jerusalem, which has been destroyed. God's people have returned to Jerusalem after a long exile, only to find it in ruins. Those who have returned are divided and consumed by infighting. These words of encouragement ask them to see what is not yet true. Nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. Lift up your eyes and look around. In reality, what they see is probably devastation and years of difficult rebuilding ahead. And when I lift my head up and look around, I see some of the same today. Massive fires blazing across Australia, threats of war looming with Iran, deep division in our nation's government and population. But God asks God's people to see and journey towards the light and hope of God's glory already with them. In our story today, the Magi lift up their eyes and are led by the light of a star. Perhaps you are led by the soft glow of a friend who has stuck by you, or the flickering flame of unanswered questions that compel you to keep asking, or the piercing light of deep need for community to surround you. All of this light is God, leading, prodding, and drawing us toward the greatest light of all, the light of the world, Jesus. When the Magi finally make it to Bethlehem, after their encounter with King Herod, they find the star they've been following stops above the house where Jesus and his family are. They are overwhelmed with joy, and upon entering the house and seeing Jesus with his mother, they kneel down and paid him homage. They worshiped this little baby king, perhaps getting his diaper changed, or sleeping in his mother's arms, or playing on the floor. In the shine of the starlight, they see something in this baby that isn't yet true. Yet, they know it's worthy of their attention. We don't have any dialogue recorded in this story to know how this all went. But before anything else, maybe without speaking much at all, they kneel down before the baby and worship. Only after worshiping do they open up their treasure chests and offer gifts. Today, as you come up for communion, you'll find on the tables baskets full of stars. Each star has a word on it. As you look ahead into 2020, I invite you to take this word as a gift from God and ponder on what that word might mean for the coming year and how this star might lead you. The Magi, who had traveled a great distance to offer their gifts to the newborn Christ child, were responding to the gift they had already been given. They received God's gift with joy and worship and then offered themselves and their gifts to God. As we celebrate communion today, receive double gifts from God. First, bread of life and cup of salvation in the sacrament of communion, a meal of growth, nourishment, and new life that sends us out to participate in God's mission to the world. Then a star word, a tangible reminder of God's generous gifts. We all need different kinds of messages. We experience God in different ways, even when we come together to do the same thing at the same time. And we respond differently to what we've seen. After Christmas, the shepherds walked away glorifying God. Mary quietly pondered what she'd witnessed in her heart. Herod feels threatened, responding with fear and violence. The Magi, having completed their journey, return home by another road, no longer guided by the star, but perhaps by the afterglow of what they've seen. How you respond to today's good news is up to you to identify. These star words are not magical, but a tool in your box of spiritual practices to use on your own journey of faith. I plan to put mine on my car dashboard and take a picture of it to use as the background on my phone so I'll see it. Put yours somewhere where you'll see it often. Look your word up in the dictionary, turn it around in your head and your heart, and keep it in the back of your mind. Share it with someone else. Allow God to speak with you, speak to you through this word with the message you need. The stories of Christmas and Epiphany show us how God shows up, and we search for God in many different ways. Perhaps you will get an angel or a dream. Perhaps you seek to study, learn, or lean into the journey. Perhaps you've been staring at the ground, hoping that the light won't catch your eye. Let this word be an opportunity for you to reflect on how God speaks to you. What might you learn from one word? What idea might evolve or treasured wisdom resurface? What truth might you find that isn't yet true? Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Epiphany is the celebration of God's presence breaking through to shine as light in the darkness. Lift up your eyes today and look around for how God's light is illuminating your way. Amen.